Record just in case. So I am now recording. Welcome everybody. Day 3 of rest, rehearse, and recover. So again, rest is not so much sleeping, although sleeping is very, very important. It's all about how do we rest the mind in order to get full focus and concentration? How do we rehearse and what are the things that we should be rehearsing? And then how do we recover after there is a mistake that's made or maybe some kind of ailment that happened within our athletics and be able to rise above and keep going forward to get our best athletic experience? So just a little recap, remember energy can't be created or destroyed. And so we want to be performing with 100% of our energy. And if our energy is focused on something else, then we're only competing with about 50% of our energy. Okay, we want to be performing at 100%. We want to give it all our all when we get into an athletic situation. So how do we bring that focus and concentration back in? One thing is that we want to be focused on the process, not the result. And what I'm finding is a lot of athletes are very driven towards the result. What place am I going to get? What time am I going to get? What win are we going to get? And although those things feel really great and they make us maybe feel good about ourselves for a little bit, it's really about the process and how we're growing to become the best athlete that we can be, how we are learning how to do our best, how we're learning to overcome failure, because failure is not a bad thing. Failure is a learning opportunity. But if we're not seeing that in our athletics and we're just seeing a loss as something that's terrible, then the kids start defining that as themselves. They start seeing that as I'm a failure. So the focus is off on what we really want. And we want to be focus driven and not results driven. So how in the world do we become process driven? Okay. We want to focus on the things that are inside of our control. A win or a loss sometimes is outside of our control. What is happening with referees, that is outside of our control. What the opponents are doing, that is outside of our control. I even have it on my team right now. I think three people cannot make it to the meet today. That's outside of our control, right? And so what we have to do is we have to focus on, okay, what is inside of our control? And as a parent, that's something that you can continue to guide. I do it and I say it out loud as just myself. I really just stand there sometimes and say, I do not have control of this. And that's okay to say, because then that allows the kids to notice, like, there are things that I have control over and there are things that I don't have control over. So let's focus on the things that we do have control over. I ask all of my athletes, what do you live by as an athlete? What is really important to you? And a lot of the responses, they tend to be the same, but I want to work hard. I want to give my best. I want to give my all. I want to work hard. Okay, those are the things that they have control over. I also encourage them to notice that they have control of their breath. And I always say, whoever has control of the breath has control of their competition, right? That is something that is in our control. And because it's mindful and meditation day, I'm going to explain what the breath actually does to the mind, to the nervous system, and then to the physical body. So stay tuned on that one. But if you have control of your breath, you have more control over the situation that is happening inside your competition. So, you know, ask the athletes, what is important to you? What do you want out of sport? Because whatever is important to them in sport, that is another thing that they have control over. What do they enjoy about the sport? You know, bringing it back to why it's fun. Whenever athletes have a ton of fun in their sport, they tend to do well, right? This is part of positive psychology. A happy athlete is an athlete that performs well. We get them to that happy place because they're focused on the process. They're focused on what they have control over. An athlete that is frustrated might make silly mistakes. They might fall start. They might drop the ball. There's all these little things that happen. And when they reflect, they really don't know why this is happening. All right. So it's really important to let's focus on what we can control. And that way their mind doesn't get overwhelmed either. And then staying in the present, being able to stay in the present is really going to be that difference maker from one athlete to another. If two athletes are racing and they're kind of side by side, really the athlete that's going to excel and cross the finish line first is the one that's staying in the present time. It's not forward thinking. They are not thinking about the finish line. They're not thinking about the result. They're not thinking about how many points they're going to get. What they're doing is they're living in the present, in the present time. Just like a basketball player, it comes down to the last free throw. They have to take the last free throw. There's no more time left on the clock. The person that's more likely to score the basket is living in the right here, right now, focusing on what they have control over. They have control over what they see. They have control over how relaxed their physical body is. They have control over their deep breathing. Okay. So let's talk about mindfulness and meditation. So mindfulness is just being really aware of what is going on inside and outside of your body, just kind of scanning the room, what is going on. Very, very beneficial to just the mind and body connection, because a lot of athletes have this disconnect of, here's my mind, it tells me things, but then here's my physical body and my body does things. In reality, our brain is saying things, but our subconscious is also doing things, but we just don't pay attention to it. And an example that I give athletes is our subconscious is the doer. It's always doing things, like your heart is beating. Okay. You don't have to think about it, but it's doing that for you. You naturally breathe. That's something that you don't have to think about. That's something that you're physically doing. Okay. Yes, we can be intentional with our breath, but you're going to breathe regardless. And so the subconscious has to have that connection with the body. And that's how we get to the next level of our athletics. When there's that mind-body connection, they have full control over everything that's going on, not having this disconnect. My mind is doing this, but my body is doing this. We want it together. I'm a yoga certified teacher. I've practiced for a number of years, but I've also taught many, many, many classes and many, many students, brought it into my classroom when I was a teacher. And we do practice mindfulness, meditation, and yoga in my athletic teams, just because it is so important. And I even have an athlete, quick story. I have an athlete who seems a little bit skeptical, doesn't like to do the yoga as much, and that's fine. I'm not going to force somebody to do something that they don't want to do. But I decided on Saturday, we had this elite competition, and I said, I'm going to make him do this. I'm going to make him do the deep breathing. I'm going to make him do some yoga stretching. I made him do downward facing dog, just because he had very tight hamstrings, which was leading into his physical body, creating tension in the back, which was creating self-doubt in his mind. He was jumping 2 feet shorter than what he normally does in long jumps. So I'm like, I'm going to practice this mindfulness on him. He ended up jumping 2 feet farther than he did in the prelims and ended up third overall in the elite competition, which is fantastic, right? And I always wonder what would have been different if I didn't say, we're going to practice this today. You know, was he going to go into that same self-doubt? Was he going to go into the same muscle tension? And, you know, but the breath is something that is so incredibly powerful. So mindfulness helps focus. It helps focus because it helps de-escalate negative emotions. If you watch the past videos, remember that whatever negative emotions happen in our physical body, we're going to get negative thoughts right away. That's just very innate. That's just what the human brain does. Okay. So as soon as we practice our mindfulness, can see my dog in the back. But as soon as we practice our mindfulness, what happens is that that negative emotion starts to de-escalate and we can almost be rid of it completely, which is going to be the advantage of somebody in a very high stressful situation. You can even think about things that have happened in your own life where you were very stressed, right? Stress takes a toll on your brain. It takes a toll on your physical body. It takes a toll on your breathing. It takes a toll on your organs. Okay. We start to develop other chemicals in the body, which creates cortisol. And when cortisol, which is a stress-induced chemical within your body, happens, you become lethargic, you become tired, you become I don't want to do this anymore because you don't have the energy anymore. Well, you don't have the energy because your body is stressed, and it all came from the physical body up to the mind. And then your mind continues to shut everything down. So practicing mindfulness can de-escalate all of that, plus get rid of some of that cortisol. It also allows you to take over and start going back into logical thinking. As soon as we have negative emotions and the negative thoughts pop into our mind, I call it irrational or illogical thinking. We're not thinking the way that we were supposed to. And if you think about it, if you have kids at home, I mean, how often do they get super upset and then they storm off saying that they hate you, right? That's illogical thinking, because at the end of the day, do they really hate you? And the answer is no, but they are going based off emotion. And this is what's happening in athletics too, that we are starting to play based on emotion. And what we want to do is we don't want to put emotion in with our athletics. Okay. We have emotion, but we are not our emotion. So it allows, when we practice our mindfulness outside of practice, outside at home, or just even in practice to get ready for competition, we start to realize I need to get my logical thinking back in order. I need to be able to see the whole field. I need to be able to see the whole court and what's going on, having that broad external awareness of what's going on. Because if our illogical thinking is kicking in, our focus is going to narrow and we're going to miss some things that we need to be focused on. And we're going, and that's when the little mistakes are going to happen. We're not going to be able to pass to an individual. We're not going to see somebody who's open. We're not going to be able to effectively compete because maybe we didn't see an individual up ahead of us because our mind wouldn't let us. Okay. It's almost like a blinder. You can't see it, but you know it's there. Mindfulness also allows us to focus on what went well. And again, this is part of positive psychology. Positive psychology, just a side note, is something that is relatively new to the psychology world, but sports psychology has definitely picked it up because, again, a happy athlete is an athlete who excels. So how do we bring that happiness into athletics and really focusing on what went well? You'll see in a lot of research, it's classified as WWW as well. But the what went well theory is the more that you focus on the things that are going well, the things that you're doing right, the things that you enjoy doing, all of the mistakes, all of the stuff that you don't like in competition begin to dissolve. And so that's very empowering. What we want to do is we want to build athletes up, have them focus on what is going well in competition, and eventually those mistakes will take care of themselves. We don't have to dwell on it. We don't have to say, why didn't you kick at the end? Why didn't you pick up speed? Why didn't you catch the ball? Why didn't you dribble in this direction? Okay. These are classic mistakes that happen, and it's fine. But once they start to realize that there are actual good things that are happening in competition, they're going to take those out, put it in the next competition, and be able to thrive. And so it's the build up model. It is building their self-confidence up. And eventually those mistakes are going to take care of themselves because they're focused on what they're good at. And we're going to keep building. I even encourage this if there was a performance or a result in a competition that did not go their way. Okay. I know not everything is sunshine and rainbows, but if something did not go their way, that is okay, but there's still something good that they're doing. Okay. If you can show up and you don't feel the best, you know that you're having an off day and maybe you're giving at 80%, but that's really 100% of your total energy that you have for the whole day. I always say that's all I could ever ask for. If you can learn to go outside your comfort zone and give your best of what you have in this present moment, even though it might not be your best time, then you learned new strength about yourself. And that's what's really important. So again, it's not going to be sunshines and rainbows all of the time, but what's going to happen is they're going to realize they are way stronger than they could ever imagine. And that's what we want for them when they're performing, that they are the strongest that they could be in that moment, in that time. Mindfulness also helps the physical body. So I work with a lot of runners and a lot of swimmers. And if we're ever tight, right, our shoulders are creeping up towards our ears and we're getting really tight into our torso, we're going to have limited movement in our shoulders, right? So what if we taught athletes how to relax and then we're able to use our muscles. We're able to swing our arms if we need to, or we're able to streamline a little bit closer to our head, right? We're able to have full function of our physical body. But if athletes don't know what it feels like when they're tight, because they're not practicing, they're not rehearsing, right? The ability to relax their physical muscle, what happens is they're not going to get full function out of that muscle, which then they're not going to get their enhanced performance that they want. So that's what mindfulness kind of brings to the table when we talk about rest, rehearse, and recover, focus and concentration, and especially sports psychology. So let's go back to emotions. Let's talk about those emotions because emotions are really important. Emotions are natural. We have a ton of natural emotions that happen every single day. So I never tell an athlete, like, don't feel that emotion. No, we should feel it. We should see it. You'll even hear some people, you should sit with this emotion, but this emotion is not who you are. And if this certain emotion caused some kind of dilemma in a past experience, if it caused some turmoil in a past competition, I almost think of it like PTSD, that there's, you know, what happens is that the athlete keeps replaying when they feel that emotion, they keep replaying the scenario over and over and over. And so they're kind of stuck. They're kind of stuck because they feel the emotion, whatever it is, it could be just how their physical body feels. They feel the emotion and all of a sudden their mind starts going, it's going to happen again. I'm going to choke. I'm not going to do my best. And it's the cycle. So what we want to do is we want to break the cycle. We want to start identifying that, yes, you have this emotion, but it is not who you are. And I always tell the athletes, it's not who you are becoming. I tell them, you're a little older, you're a little wiser. So what have you learned about your competition? And I said, what is happening is you are connected to your performance emotionally. That's why you're feeling this way. So what we have to do is we have to pull that emotion back and start in with the positive psychology. We have to go in with those positive emotions, because when an athlete is tied to the negative emotions too much, and that's what they're focused on, they're just going to create the same mistake over and over and over. So just being aware, you have this emotion. This is not who you are. You are not your emotion. And just start noticing, what are all the great things that are happening in your athletics? Yes, we make mistakes. And if you're not making mistakes, why aren't you in the Olympics yet? Right? but really have them focus on what is going well. When they're stuck in this negative emotion, a lot of times what I'm seeing is that they're results driven. They're too focused on the place that they have to get, that they need to get. They're too focused on the time that they have to get instead of, I'm going to work very hard in this race. I'm going to work on my strategies so my focus and concentration is better on the court. Okay. So an athlete who is process driven, you'll start to see those emotions de-escalate. And that's what I want for your athletes. How do we get that de-escalation of those negative emotions so the wheel isn't turning over and over and over? It's going to happen again. I'm going to make this mistake again. My goggles are going to fall off. I'm going to false start, whatever that looks like. So you have to think of it that no matter where you are in athletics, you're always moving forward. But are you moving forward with your focus being on the negative? Or are you focused moving forward in the positive? Because you're always moving forward. And it is athlete choice. It takes a little work and it takes practice. That's the rehearsed part of this challenge, is that it takes practice. It doesn't happen overnight. I had somebody before just, I did my 10 deep breaths last night and then I went to my competition and I still made the same mistake. And I said, okay, you did that for one day. And I'm like, what was something great that happened? And they're like, well, I was totally focused for the first half of my game. And I'm like, there it is. Okay. I don't expect great things are going to happen after day one of practicing or rehearsing some of these strategies, but you're going to start to notice the good things that are happening. So let's talk about some of these strategies. Strategy number one, here's the deep breathing. Why we need deep breathing. A lot of times that negative emotion creates a lot of energy and it goes right into our nervous system. So what happens is our nervous system starts shaking, almost like my hands are shaking right now. Okay. We start shaking a lot. And when that happens, we start to lose some of that focus. Instead of having that broad external focus, it starts narrowing because we can start to feel it. And then we start having these replays of, oh my goodness, I'm going to make these mistakes. So again, we're getting into illogical thinking. We need to calm the nervous system. And the way to do that is through deep breathing. Okay. And so you guys can practice this with your kids at home, or you can practice it right now. Take your hands on your rib cage, and I'll just come up a little bit on your rib cage. And when you breathe in, your hands separate. And when you breathe out, your hands move back together. Okay. That's deep breathing. Some athletes who have never tried this before, what they tend to do is they hyperventilate a little bit. So they're like, I'm breathing a lot. And now I'm feeling fuzzy. They're feeling fuzzy because they're getting too much oxygen. So we want to slow the breath down. Deep breathing is coming from the diaphragm, which is more in the belly than the chest breathing. Okay. And so they want to practice 10 breaths every night. And I always say at night, because deep breathing does help with sleep, and sleep is very important for athletic performance. So I encourage athletes to take 10 deep breaths every night. Okay. So what it sounds like, and I have my kids practice this too, is take a deep breath in through your nose. So you breathe in, rib cage expands, chest lifts up, and then breathe out nice and slow, either through the mouth or through the nose. Nice and slow. Okay. And then you do that again, taking a deep breath in, and then nice and slow, breathe it out. And notice how the shoulders naturally go down. Okay. The human body will start to crave that relaxation that the athlete is doing. When they practice the 10 deep breaths, they start to feel a lot calmer in the nervous system. The shaking that was happening in the nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system covers it. So it calms that nervous system. The next thing that happens is the muscles start to relax. So now you have full functioning muscles to perform at your best. Okay. And then you have logical thinking that happens with your deep breathing. So again, you want to practice this every night, 10 deep breaths, and the body will start to crave that. When there's a mind-body connection, they're going to perform better. So let's say that they're in an intense competition. It is a very, very stressful competition. If they practice their deep breaths, they'll get their thinking and they'll be able to play like they normally do, like in practice, or maybe at a game that's not so stressful. Okay. Super important. Take the deep breaths. It really calms that it calms your nervous system by activating your parasympathetic nervous system. Now, once they practice that, they'll be able to utilize it before competition. So as soon as they step onto the court, I always say right before the national anthem, they're standing in line. They're standing there, they're kind of waiting. You know, it always takes a second for the national anthem to start. So that's where I encourage, okay, I want you to practice your deep breathing then. You're standing, you're kind of waiting. There's nobody around you, or they might be around you, but that's okay. And if they don't fully have the buy-in with me with the deep breathing, I also ask them when they watch TV with professional athletes, I want them to watch what they're doing before their game. Or even after they make a mistake and they step off the court. What is the first thing that they start doing? They start deep breathing. Every athlete does it. So it's not like they're being silly. Every athlete does it to calm their nervous system. So they have full logical thinking and they can create that focus and concentration back into their game or back into their race. Number two, letting go of negative emotion. This is part of cognitive reconstruction. And so what I tell the athletes, and I'll tell all of you right now, that we have memory that's stored in our brain. And that's wheel that keeps going around of the same incident that keeps happening when the emotion comes in, right? That same mistake, that same feeling of disappointment and frustration, that same sometimes self-doubt that keeps clicking in. That just means that the file memory in their brain is more near the front, and that's why they keep thinking about it instead of near the back of the brain where they don't think about it very much. It's like a memory that you have from maybe childhood. You have it, but you don't think about it all the time. It's stored more in the back of your mind, not so much in the front of your mind. But when an athlete has that activation that keeps happening, it's at the front of their mind. So I do this cognitive reconstruction. And I, if you want to, you can do this with me. I have it very kinesthetic, okay? Because when kids move, they learn a little bit more, but I have them take some deep breaths. Okay, let's calm the nervous system. And I always do three. And then I have them think about in a not successful time that they had, okay? And they're thinking about a memory, something that is maybe upsetting to them when it comes to sport or something that keeps replaying in their mind. And I want them to think about that memory. And I ask, do you have it? They say yes. So then you're going to take your fingers and you're going to draw a box. You're going to draw a box in the air. And then I tell them, put that memory inside the box. And so now I want you looking at the box, putting your memory in the box. Can you see the memory in your box? And they say yes. Okay. So they're really focused. They're really concentrating on this past memory that has caused them some heartache, some unpleasant feelings, but it keeps coming back. So then I ask them to take this rectangle that they're drawing with their fingers, that they put their memory in, and it's like a touch screen. I want them to make it really, really big. Okay. I want them to make that emotion really big. Like it's a touch screen, open it up, make it big. Then I ask, how is that feeling? Many times the athletes say, I don't like this feeling. Like it really made my feeling really, really big. Okay. That's fine. So let's make it even smaller than what we had it and bring it back to a square. So the square is now so small that my fingers are almost touching and the memory is now a little bit smaller. And then I ask, how does it feel now that your memory is a little bit smaller? They say it feels a lot better. And I'm like, okay, I want you to take that memory and put it inside of your hand. And so now they have the memory in one hand and I want them to start squeezing their fist. Start squeezing that memory, making it even smaller inside your fist. Squeeze the memory, squeeze the memory. Are you squeezing the memory? The athlete says yes. Then I ask them to take a deep breath in. And then on that deep breath out, they're going to throw it behind them. So breathe out, throw that memory behind you, and then let it go. When I ask them, how do they feel when they let go of that memory, when they throw it behind them, they really do have this sense of healing, the sense of that they let go of this memory, and it's not so much in the front part of their brain. So then a few weeks later, when I come back to that memory and I just kind of ask, has it come up in competition? They're like, no, it's gone. Okay. Our mind is so powerful that we can take the focus of that memory that they kept replaying over and over and over, and we can take it and send it to the back part of our brain. Again, we are not our emotion. The emotion happened and the emotion is real, but we are not our emotion. So when they have that ability to let it go, it's very empowering for them. So now they feel even stronger that they're not being held down. They're not being weighed down by this repeating memory that keeps happening. Okay. So that's part of cognitive reconstruction. Number three, I'll teach you just some progressive muscular relaxation. You can look these up on YouTube. I do progressive muscular relaxation with all of my athletes online in my 10-week program. And I do it with all of my athletes that I coach on my team because I want them to learn the difference between This is tight in your muscular body, and this is relaxed. This is tight, this is relaxed. Because how often are athletes taught, you know, they're taught, relax. You hear people yell like, just relax, relax. But what does relax actually mean? And I honestly teach them that. So if you want to go through the progressive muscular relaxation with me, I'm just going to do the upper body, but I do tend to go from the top of the head all the way down to the feet. And again, there are YouTube videos on it. I would assume that you could find some people who just talk through it like a podcast and you can just follow along. It usually takes me anywhere from 8 to 10 minutes to do the entire body. But again, we want to teach the athletes when our body is tight, this is what it feels like. And then when our body is relaxed, this is what it feels like. So in a sporting competition or practice, if we were to yell out, just relax, they know exactly what that means. Okay. So we can start with the forehead, and I usually have athletes just kind of close their eyes. I'll keep my eyes open, but just taking a deep breath in, you're going to lift up on the eyebrows and make your forehead wrinkly, make it really tight. So they feel that their forehead is tight. And then when they breathe out, they relax their eyebrows. Then I move to the eyes. As you breathe in, you make your eyes nice and tight. And then when you breathe out, you relax your eyes, and you can even like wiggle your eyebrows to relax the eyes. This is one of the most important ones in athletics, keeping the cheeks loose. So you might be biting your back teeth very gently. Don't break a tooth or anything, but just kind of squeeze your back teeth and pull your cheeks back, breathing in and then breathing out, relax your jaw and have them feel how their cheeks are relaxed. Moving on to the neck, as you breathe in, make your neck nice and tight, almost like you're pulling on your chin, making your neck tight. And then when you breathe out, relax your neck. Focusing on shoulders, I have athletes lift their shoulders up to their ears. So breathing in, lift the shoulders up, pull them up as tight as they can go, and then breathe out, let the shoulders relax, maybe even some shoulder rolls. Focused on arms, as you breathe in, your arms are locked at 90 degrees. Pull them in towards your torso and squeeze your arms so your arms are shaking. Squeezing them in towards your torso. Breathe in, breathe in, breathe in. And breathe out. Relax the arms so I have them shake it out. And then the last one I'll do with you is your fingers. So as you breathe in, make a fist. Make your fist nice and tight. Breathing in. And then when you breathe out, wiggle your fingers. Let that relaxation happen. Okay. Again, that's called progressive muscular relaxation, teaching the physical body to focus and isolate small portions of the body, getting it nice and tight, and then teaching them what actually relaxation looks like. So the wiggling of the fingers, even moving the eyebrows, moving the jaw, there are little cues that you can use to get the physical body to relax itself. The more relaxed the physical body is, the more that they can perform to their ultimate best. And then the last one that I'm going to talk about is meditation. Okay. I do have a website and I'll put it in the comments as well, but there's a UCLA website that if you scroll down, there's a ton of guided meditations. The meditations that I tend to do is very calming, but it's also working on building confidence, right? If you can see it, you can be it. And the more that the athletes rehearse and focus on seeing themselves in their own brain, the more likely whatever they're seeing in their brain is going to happen. And that's another reason why we have to think about the best case scenario, the what went well in their competition, because if they can see it, they can be it. If they're thinking about the mistakes are more likely to come back into their competition. So we want them thinking about the best case scenario. What are the things that are going well? What does it look like to be confident? So again, I just have athletes take a deep breath in, and when they breathe out, they close their eyes and just relax the shoulders. And you can do this with me. You can just hear the sound of my voice. And then as you take that deep breath in, breathe out, feel your shoulders relax down, feel your arms grow heavy. This time when you breathe in, imagine an ocean wave. And that ocean wave is building to the top. When you breathe out and you feel the air pushing out, imagine that wave crashing to the beach and reaching towards the sand. As you breathe in, see the ocean recede, see the ocean build as you get to the top of your breath, and then breathing out, see the ocean wave crash down, reach towards the sand. Taking a few more breaths on your own. Just having that image in your mind, paying attention to just your breath and the visual action of the ocean as you let all other thoughts leave your mind. And as you take your last exhale, start to see yourself in your sport. See yourself getting ready for the action that you're going to do. And as you see yourself at your court or the track or the pool or the field, start to see yourself as confident. And what does that look like? Shoulders back, chest up, keeping that integrity of the deep breath. As you take your next deep breath in, see yourself as confident and relax this time as you breathe out. See yourself in the action of your sport and see yourself playing confidently. Notice what your arms are doing, what your legs are doing. As you breathe in and see yourself playing confidently, notice how you feel in that moment. As you take the deep breath in, notice where your focus is when you're focused on playing the game, swimming, running. See yourself moving confidently and focus just on your own actions, what you have control over. On your next deep breath in, see the words in your mind, "I am confident." And then breathe out. Let any residual tension go. Two more, taking a deep breath in, see the words, "I am confident." Breathe out. Let any tension go. And one more, taking a deep breath in. Exhale out, letting go. And if your eyes are closed, go ahead and open them. Okay, that was a very quick kind of meditation. I tend to go a little bit longer and it is tailored to their sport. But anything like that, just listening to my voice, that practice of focus and concentration, allowing them to practice the skill of visualization. If they can see it, they can be it. And then they feel empowered and then they feel really good. Like, yeah, I can do this. So in the comments, I'm very, very excited to announce. I've been hesitating on this for a little bit because I do believe in my 10-week program, but I understand busy lives, busy, busy, busy lives. So I have created, it's called Athletically Accelerated Program, and it's only for 30 days. I have a whole curriculum full of videos and resources, worksheets to work on, as well as coaching live sessions plus individual work with me one-on-one for 30 minutes each week during the 30 days. And I have also added a parents module to it where I go through how can you help your athlete, and you and your athlete would have access to this as well for the curriculum. But how could you help your athlete as a parent? Because I know sometimes it's tough. And then it's tough when they have heartache, you know, and it's tough, like, what is the right thing to say? But in the parent module, I also have like tips for nutrition. How should you be fueling your athletes? What are some good things, even like good things to eat and refuel if they have to refuel in between their competitions? And even what should your athletes be consuming after they take tests? Because tests consume only one thing that creates energy. So a lot of times athletes get very, very lethargic after testing because their brain has consumed a lot of their calories and they actually have to refuel as if they were competing. So it's really fascinating, but I have a module on that, plus meditation videos, yoga videos, if that is helpful to you. So it is 30 days and it's going to begin in June 1st. I have an application that I'm going to put in the comments if you are interested, but I'm super excited. You will have, like I said, access to all of these things that I'm teaching. And remember, this is day three, but I'm doing a 4-day challenge on only focus and concentration. Just imagine what it's like to also have the resources of de-escalating athletic anxiety and building your goal setting plans and other plans that allow you to be successful in your sport that goes beyond just focus and concentration. So if you ever have any questions, always feel free to let me know. And day four, I'm going to wrap up with even more strategies tomorrow. And what is it like when an athlete has these emotions and how do we get them to shut it down as parents? Because I think that's the toughest part. So, I look forward to one more day with all of you. I am so grateful for you guys watching live or even watching the recorded version of all of this. I'm very grateful. Please reach out in the group if you have any questions, because I do believe if you have a question, you are not alone. So with that, I leave you for today. I hope you have a great rest of your day and take care.